This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got a ticket giveaway in this hour. We will talk with Will McClay at about 12:45. But right now, we have the opportunity to sit down with Dallas Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer, and it went a little something like this.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and we're joined by Dallas Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer. Howdy, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing amazing out here in Oxnard doing football with some dudes that I love and care about. I'm doing great.
Now, we wanted to follow the message of professionalism for the camp. If Corey or I get in a fight, will you eject one of us from the interview?
No, because you guys aren't as important to me as they are.
Wow, yeah. That's fair.
You guys can do whatever you want. Just make sure it doesn't spill into the field and get in the players' way.
Now, one of the things, you see the shirts, you see the hoodies, compete every day. I get that that is fairly self-explanatory, but I wanted to know, to you, what does that mean and why is that message important?
Just, it's taken one day at a time, and when you wake up in the morning, you literally be like, look, I want to have the best day I can have. I want to win today. And so do everything in that in your day to be the best version of yourself. That's being the best husband, the best father, the best Christian, the best pianist, whatever it is, best football player. And that goes into every meeting, every workout, every practice. And it's not easy to do, but I think it's easy to focus on, and our guys have bought into it, and we don't win every day, but the least you can do is try, and today we had a very competitive practice, and the guys are buying in, excited about it, and it's just one of those things. I think that if you're not competing, man, I don't know right. why we're out here, and you know.
Is that level of speed and competition, is that how you can tell they've bought in? You said they've bought in. Like, how? When did you know that, or how could you tell?
Well, I think it started in the off-season program. You know, you hear some of the things they're saying in the media. They're talking about the things that we talk about, the things that we're preaching. And we make them compete all the time in the meetings rooms. We do different things with them. We do fun games. We do silly games. We do things that, you know, we took them to do paintball and let them shoot the hell out of each other. And you know, and then when you watch these guys practice, I think what we do a good job of as staff is we're very upfront and honest with them. And, again, the first day wasn't very good. Yesterday was solid. Today was really good. It was great competition back and forth. We'd, you know, score a touchdown. They'd take it away a couple times. We'd come right back with a big run. And that's what we're trying to get these guys to understand. Like, to me, in the National Football League, you don't win games in the first quarter. You don't win games in the second quarter, not in the third quarter. Where you win games is late, and you win games in the fourth quarter. So it takes that competitiveness to be able to sit in there and fight through a 75-play game on offense, defense, special teams, and find a way to win.
Now, you said you don't want to be static with motion and all that. You were saying we don't want to be a static team, but how do you know when your team is the most physical team? Like, we can line up and beat you. We know. How do you know when that your team has that thing? Like that 14 Cowboys team, they do. We can run. We can just run on anybody. Try to stop us.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, to me, it's when the team you're playing either knows that you have to run the football and they can't stop you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great feeling. Or conversely, if you're playing a team on offense, it's a great running team, and you're literally just knocking the hell out of them, and they're not a drop, to me, that's when you're like, okay, we're really physical. And that's the mindset that we want to have. That's the mindset of what we want to build this thing on. After winning the turnover battle, it starts with owning the line of scrimmage. And that starts on both sides. It's not just the O-line, D-line. It's the tight ends. It's the linebackers. It's the safeties. But in my experience, when we've had our best teams, it started with a physical front and a physical football team.
Yeah, the idea is always we want to be more physical. But the mindset of we're the most physical team. How do you getting there's a tough mindset, right?
Absolutely. Tough practices.
Yes.
Physical practices. Guys jawing back and forth. Guys talking trash. I love it. I want that. Just don't throw a punch.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
I mean, you know, nobody wants to lose a great player and
sure.
All of a sudden that takes a great player off the team. It makes us adjust. You lose them. They take a bunch of your money. It's like, why would you do that? You know, like, why would you do that? So it's just kind of us teaching those guys, okay, we're going to get heated. When those things happen, actually it happened today.
Yeah.
Yep.
The offensive players, or the cowboy, I will say, you go and grab a cowboy and get him out of there instead of going and push the other guy. And so the defensive guy, they pulled his guy out, and it was awesome.
It might be kind of similar to that, but yesterday we talked with Osa about good conditioning, great conditioning, and championship level conditioning. How do you see the difference? Is it similar to the physicality there as well?
Yeah, what I tell our guys is this. Look, I don't want to have 2.5 hour practices. I'm allowed.
Right.
We can. I said, but we can get the work done in 1:45. We can get the work done in 2 hours if you guys are willing to ball out and if you're willing to run. But if I look at the film and you're not running, great. I can lengthen the practice. We can do conditioning after practice. And they're like, no, Shoddy, we're good, man. Like, we will run, and that's what they've done. And so, to me, it's critical. I mean, it's critical. And then, obviously, we're getting ready to go back into Texas here in a couple weeks and practice in that heat. So, if we're not in great shape, then how are we expecting to win and sustain, you know, tough games?
Now, leadership comes in a lot of different ways. I'm sure you have guys that you're like, I want that guy to be a leader, and maybe they don't live up to it. Who are some guys that may have surprised you and stepped into those roles that you didn't expect to take that on?
Well, I'm not going to say I didn't expect it from some of these guys, but, like, you know, Overshown, Demo. I mean, you know, I'm not surprised, but he's not practicing.
Right.
But yet he's leading. He's out there having more fun than anybody. Solomon Thomas, what an incredible work ethic. Solly doesn't say much. He leads by example. He's been awesome. CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee is so excited about taking and adding that to his game. Like, you know, when you're one of the best receivers in football, you're like, well, what else can I do?
Yes.
Well, you start talking about being a leader and bringing other guys with you. So, enter George Pickens. He and GP have hit it off. And so, but it's not, I mean, Osa's stepping up on offense. You know, you're seeing Tyler Guyton's doing some great things, you know, and so it's just exciting. And again, there's going to be tough days. I mean, we're going to have bad practices, going to get hotter. You know, we're going to, you know, play some preseason games. The real leaders are going to stand up when that stuff happens, and that's who I'm excited to see.
You know, you mentioned CeeDee and you mentioned Pickens. Pickens said they were kind of like the Mario brothers.
Yeah.
So I want to see what you think about that analogy, and then also, what is your go-to Mario game?
Well, it's actually, I remember, I'm a date myself.
Original, like, oh, Super Mario.
Right. I think it was in television, maybe. It was like, oh my God. Well, number one, their shoe game is incredible. So I think CeeDee had on the Grinches today, and GP had on some red shoes that I know I can't pull off. But I don't think I'm a character. What I'm trying to figure out, and I asked them this, I said, Junior Adams, we need to figure out, the receiver coach, we need to figure out one of the, like, maybe the fruit or something, that the things you could do and whatnot, like one of those little minion things. I think that's, we got to find. So they're thinking about
the Goomba,
it.
Yeah. Perhaps, I believe, is the
Look
name
at this
of
guy.
It.
Yeah. Okay. That's for Junior Adams.
You got a lot of files in that brain there.
That was very impressive.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm really curious about this. Before you got into football, like, as a coach, I know obviously runs in your family, but you were a fan first. So do you understand, and it might seem unfair, but as a Cowboys coach, it kind of falls on you as well. Do you understand all the baggage that Cowboys fans kind of carry with them? And do you ever think about that?
You know, I really don't. I mean, I think my biggest thing is, you know, we have a standard that we're trying to achieve, and I've talked about it since my opening press conference. I want to win a world championship with these guys. That's the goal. Why you would ever set an arbitrary goal and not shoot for that, to me, it makes no sense.
Yes.
But along with that goal, it's about building one of the greatest cultures in professional sports, because when the it's the fan. That's what's going to get you guys through. That's what's going to allow us to win a tough game where maybe we start slow or we turn the ball over and we got to battle back, or, you know, the defense is stopping them, but we're not, you know, making scoring points offensively. So to me, it's this team has one objective, one goal. And what I'm watching right now is these guys have bought into what we're selling, and that is that we are building one day. It doesn't happen overnight.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
I mean, we're not ready to win a world championship right now. But when we practice, we're trying to have the best practice in the world. And if we don't do it, then we will figure out why, and the next day we try to do it again. So, again, I just believe the standard's a standard's one of the simplest things you can say. And these guys know the standard. What you saw out there today was the standard in terms of the way they worked.
Now, you said when the hits the fan, you're a...
Can I say that on radio?
Well, it's a pre-record. That's what I was going to say.
We'll bleep it out.
Yeah. During your press...
Sorry, I'm still coaching.
No, that's okay. Yeah. During our press conferences, you're a casual swearer, uh-huh, which keeps our producer on his toes.
I love it.
What is your favorite curse word?
Oof. Well, I mean, I say... I need to clean up my mouth, but I'm passionate, and I need to be better. But I would say I might use the F word a little bit too much, especially when I'm coaching. But I'm trying to be better.
It is a very versatile word, though.
It can be used in many connotations.
Yesterday, Osa told us sometimes he'll go work out off campus, and he'll bring his clothes back and he'll put them on the loop. Do you like that kind of thriftiness in a guy? He's like, hey, I'll let them take care of my laundry for me.
I actually do, and I love the fact that he's doing extra work. I mean, shows you why he's such a great player, because he's a nonstop worker, man. I mean, shoot, he's probably in the weight room right now doing something. I guarantee he is. So that does not surprise me at all. But I wonder if he was a rookie if he was doing that. Probably not.
Probably not as a veteran.
Probably not.
I was also curious on how do you adapt your team to the talent and your game to the talent? Because, okay, you have a Justin Jefferson. You're going to do things with Justin Jefferson that you can't do with other people. How do you say, okay, I got these guys, and I got to use their talents to the best?
Great question. I think, you know, you have a philosophy. Offense, defense, special teams, your system has to be flexible enough to use your people. And that's even when you deal with a couple injuries throughout a, you know, 3 or 4 week span, and a guy breaks his chin strap and he's out for a couple weeks. Like, you have to have a flexible enough system that you can change. And that's why it's so important for us to talk about the ability to play physically in the run game on offense and defense, and be multiple with our scheme on offense and defense. And we want to be difficult to defend.
Yes.
We want to be difficult to defend on both sides of the ball. And so we've done that. I think that shows some of the experience. I think we have like 13 of our coaches have 10 years or more experience in the NFL. I've loved being around the guys. I mean, I'm seeing them truly coach what real football looks like now, because we're out here in training camp, and I think we had a home run with our staff.
Does that same level of flexibility apply to how much upward mobility there is for certain players? Because it feels like not just here, but in every NFL team, you hear like, oh, this guy had a great camp. This guy had a great camp. Then the roster looks kind of how you thought it would before, you know, the start of training camp. Do you feel like, can you describe what opportunities are available? Because there's a lot of guys on here that, like, theoretically coming in, we wouldn't think would make the team.
We have a big thing we believe in called cross-training. So guys have to have more value than just one position. So let's use a guy like Terp, okay? Terp is a receiver. He's obviously an elite kick returner. But we're going to do other things with Terp. He's a weapon. So how do we get him cross-training to do running back stuff? Hunter Lepke, man, jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. Deron Bland, I mean, can play outside, can play inside. We can do all these different things. So we spend a lot of time of saying, okay, today Deron's working, you know, with DT, Darius Thompson, and doing, you know, he's doing the nickel stuff. And, I mean, all that stuff is important. We got jumbo tight ends we're training. You know, you look at Awesome Richards. He's not playing just tackle. He's playing tight end. Well, how does he get with Lunda Wells, and how we make that happen? And so I really think that that's so important. But that's something we believe in.
Now, I probably put too much on Tyler Guyton this offseason, but I've been very adamant. If Tyler's good, this offensive line could be very good, and this team will be very successful if that happens. Is that fit? Do you think that's fair? I know that's simplifying it, but is that pretty fair?
No, I think it's fair. I think Tyler understands that. And what Tyler's done is Tyler has absolutely been an animal, and his work ethic has been incredible. And Jake Ferguson's trying to walk in and mess up my thing.
Hey, he's welcome. Come on in.
Always. Come hang out.
No. But, you know, Tyler was one of the first guys back in the building, man. He is an incredible worker. He's so excited about this camp, the chance to go against the really some elite edge rushers and have to work. He had a couple sets yesterday, man. I think when you guys watch him, the way he's using his hands,
yes,
he's using his length.
Yes.
Hey, guys, playing tackle in the National Football League, man, as a rookie. I'll share a quick story with you before I got to get out of here. So we drafted DeBrickshaw Ferguson, fourth overall in Virginia, my first year with the Jets. And we literally, after the first year, we said, he might be a bust. This guy might be a bust. Might be a bust.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the next year, the guy starts to grow. And next thing you know, he's over there. He's punching. He's doing different things. And he's learning. And guy's in the ring of honor with the freaking Jets, man.
Yeah.
It's like, you know. As long as you keep going, and that's what Tyler and I got to stay on this, my preparation, my mentality, and things like that. But like, don't judge tackles in this league too early. It's a very humbling position, even for the great ones.
Yes.
Well, we appreciate the time, and you said at the beginning, be the best that you can at a whole slew of things, and one of them was be the best you can as a Christian. Next week, going to Germany on a mission trip. So if you could wish me luck, I'd appreciate it.
I wish you luck for sure. We'll be praying for you, man. That's awesome.
Thank you very much, good sir. Yep. Thank you for
the
time.
Guys. Always appreciate you guys, man.
Sir.
Brian Schottenheimer right here on 105.3 The Fan.
And he was on the Wild Fork Foods hot seat. Of course, wildforkfoods.com. Elite game day grilling favorites. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, live from Oxnard. Coming up next, have you been appropriately appreciating this Rangers pitching staff? Plus, Dallas Cowboys Vice President of Player Personnel, Will McClay. You need a little something else? And a ticket giveaway. All of it next right here on The Fan.
And a swing and a miss here on a DeGrom heater. Rooker is out on strikes for a second time. 9 strikeouts now for DeGrom through 6 tonight.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053. If you want to get involved in the conversation, the Frankel & Frankel injury attorney text line. Now, we got a lot of stuff that we're going to do in this segment. We're going to talk with Will McClay in about 20 minutes. Talk about the Rangers right now. But, Corey, I also feel like maybe...
Let's give something away!
877-881-1053, caller number 10.
Now.
We'll win a pair of pit tickets to go see Treaty Oak Revival on August 15th at the Pavilion at Toyota Music Factory. That is, of course, courtesy of Live Nation. You can go buy tickets to this show, or you can win them for free right now. 877-881-1053. Now, on the Rangers front, this is interesting and maybe a little bit tricky for me. That's right. Have you been appropriately appreciating this Rangers pitching staff? Because I feel like maybe people have not, because so many of the qualifiers they say about the pitching staff is like, oh, yeah, the pitching staff's been great, but. And so, like, I don't know if people are really taking in that this may well, actually it probably is, and it's the best I can ever remember, go down as the best season of Rangers pitching in team history.
Yeah. We had Nolan Ryan here.
Yep.
And that was special because we never actually really had a pitcher like that that I could remember.
Charlie Huff was the best one we had. And, like, you know,
yeah,
this was like, toward the end of it.
Charlie Huff was probably very underrated.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long!
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, through most of his career, too, like, we respected him and loved him. But we never had a crew of guys that could have this. Now, I give a lot of credit to Mike Maddox because of the style that Mike Maddox wants these guys to pitch with. And, Kevin, you can go back to your favorite pitcher of all time and watch how he pitched. And the Rangers pitchers are pitching similarly to him.
Yeah.
Keep it low. Keep things away. Don't go to their sweet spot. And if you're going to go to their sweet spot, set them up with something high and at their face. And like that's just. And I'm not saying hit them in the face, but there's a lot of times you change their eye level.
Mike was listening to you right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, you change their eye level by giving a high and inside pitch, and now they got to protect themselves by not leaning in too much. Well, you go something low and away or low and in, and you have a good spot for them. So they're doing a good job of executing the game plan that Mike Maddox draws up. And Bochy tells us all the time how great he thinks that he's just a master at drawing up a game plan for these guys. He loves what Mike Maddox does as a pitching coach. I've had fun watching these guys, and Mike said that the other day, and I've been saying this for a while. It's fun to watch the young pitchers. It's fun to watch. I didn't expect to have fun watching Patrick Corbin pitch this year.
Yeah.
Both of us can raise our hand and be like, that was a dude. And here we are watching a guy that's actually like, he's pitching into the game plan. And he's doing it very well, and it looks cool. Like, watch his pitches, man. It's fun. So I think I think one of the things that kept us from fully embracing it, fully recognizing it, is the wins weren't happening. Yes. Runs weren't happening, even though you were having good pitching outings. But I think this second half, Kevin, is turning that corner for us to be like, oh man, we are so happy. And this is the thing that I knew I was going to forget, and I remembered. I know that Jacob DeGrom isn't a flash in the pan. This is Jacob DeGrom.
Right.
I know that Nathan Eovaldi, this is not a flash in the pan. This is how he pitches. These are two guys that I know are consistently going to pitch over the season that way. Now, we're seeing the two young pitchers get their chances, and they're growing as they go along. But I know I have two dominant pitchers that it's not just a, oh, when are they coming back to earth moment.
Yeah. No, that's – I really like the way that you put that. I decided to go check – you know, sometimes, like, how you feel when you're watching sports doesn't necessarily line up with the numbers.
Right.
And I know RJ would tell me that means what you saw was wrong.
And that's why I think you take both of them and put them together and help yourself.
But don't you think RJ would say
absolutely
what you saw was wrong?
Your eyes deceived you.
So I was really happy to see that the numbers lined up, and they were even more impressive than I could have possibly anticipated. The Rangers have the lowest ERA in all of Major League Baseball. And you might be like, wow, that's pretty great. But here's what I want to put in perspective for everybody. Think about this. They're 0.34 better than the next team, which is Kansas City. And to put that in further perspective, the difference between the Rangers at 1 and the Royals at 2 is the same gap as the Royals at 2 and the Pirates at 11. That's how much better the Rangers think about that. The gap between 2 and 11 is the same as 1 and 2. That's how much better the Rangers have been at pitching than everybody else. And you talked a lot about the starting pitchers, and I know we discussed this the other day. When the bullpen fails, they fail in like spectacular nature and obviously cost you the games. But the bullpen has been way better than I think
me, you, or anybody had a real right to believe
that's true
that they would. And so they've got the best ERA. Go ahead.
To that point, though, is there part of you that when I say DeGrom and Eovaldi, I feel like I'm getting that from them consistently from here on? Doesn't it feel like with the bullpen, you're like, I don't know. I don't know when they will come back to or if this is just who they are.
Look, there's absolutely a reason why we want John Gray in the bullpen. It's because, to your point,
consistency.
I do not necessarily feel as though.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I am.
Neither do the Rangers. They just DFA'd Robert Garcia the other day.
I'm hopeful. You know, I'm very hopeful that that's a Luke Jackson. Or what?
Sorry. Who did?
It was Luke Jackson. I just saw Robert Garcia.
Luke Jackson. I'm sorry.
That's where I feel with this bullpen is. I'm not completely certain, but hopefully they continue this role.
And now they also have the best whip in all of Major League Baseball.
Wonderful.
And we talked about that a little bit before, but you always got new listeners, people trying to learn the game. WHIP is walks and hits per innings pitch. It gives you a good idea of not only how many runs you're giving up, but how many people are on base. Because you'll see this all the time, like for shorter chunks of time. Somebody who's got a good ERA, but their WHIP is high, and you're like, that person's reckoning is coming.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always happen like that, but it can. Now, you mentioned the two individual players of DeGrom and Eovaldi. So let's talk about this part. Again, numbers match up with what we feel like we've seen. Jacob DeGrom, he has the fifth best ERA in all of Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it will be the sixth best ERA in all of baseball once Nathan Eovaldi qualifies, because he has an MLB best 1.58 ERA. That's a third of a run better than Paul Skenes and 0.61 better than Scooble and Crochet, who are the best in the American League. Think about that. The best ERAs in the American League are Scooble and Crochet at 2.19. Eovaldi's at 1.58. He's almost two-thirds of a run better than the guy that everyone is sure is going to win his second straight Cy Young. And so once he qualifies, that means the Rangers will have two of the top six ERAs in baseball and the first by a good amount.
You know how people say this guy or this team plays down to the competition? It feels like Nathan Eovaldi pitches up to the moment. Whatever the moment is, it's never too big. And he's like, oh, you need me to go out there and throw eight innings of shutout baseball? Okay, I'll do that tonight then.
Right.
You know, and that's been and it's also, when you're in a zone and you're capable of doing that, you don't think much. And he looks like he goes out there and is just like, okay, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do it again and again. My consistency's there. I'm throwing the same pitches. They can't hit them. I'm just comfortable. He's very comfortable in these moments. Look at how many times, Kevin, he's needed to save the bullpen this season, and he's done it. And that's where I stand with Eovaldi. I'm just in awe. And I know whenever he got here, we had a lot of discussions of regular season. Well, hey, man, if we can get to the postseason, that's what matters the most. And now he's given us regular season jewels as well.
Now, I'm going to do this again just because I think it's a fun way to spotlight how ridiculous the Rangers pitching is. So I told you he's 0.61 ahead of Scooble and Crochet. You'd have to go from that same spot all the way down to number 14 in MLB for ERA. So the gap between Eovaldi and the best pitchers in the American League is the same distance as the gap between second and 14th.
Wow.
That's how far ahead
amazing,
of the curve,
dude,
Eovaldi is, and how far ahead of the curve the Rangers pitching is in general.
Okay, then. Let me ask you this, Kevin.
Let's do it.
DeGrom continues this out and finishes the season like this. Eovaldi qualifies. Do you think Eovaldi deserves the Cy Young over DeGrom?
You know what I really hate to say about this? Oh, God, that would suck.
Co-Cy Youngs?
I think they finish second and third. I think they would split the vote then, with people just defaulting to Scooble. And look, don't get me wrong. Tarek Skubal is having an insane year.
Extremely entertaining, too.
But just the idea that he's already rubber-stamped as the Cy Young, and I feel like the betting odds kind of reflect that as well, I think is I think is a little bit silly.
Okay.
But what I'm worried about, and you're right, though, if we got Cy Youngs, that would be just... That would be one of the most awesome regular season things I've ever seen in my life. Now, obviously, postseason, we've seen amazing things. But DeGrom's also pitched 27 more innings than Eovaldi, so give or take about four starts. I would love that, but I think it would be more likely that they would split some votes and kind of get jobbed out for that.
The thing about this, you talk about how we, as longtime Rangers fans, have never seen this.
Yep. Ever.
The other thing that we've never seen is the rest of the league envious of what the Rangers pitching staff is.
Oh my gosh.
Every manager in baseball wishes they could have those two pitchers at the top of their rotation and incorporate that with depth and have a fifth doing what Patrick Corbin's doing this year. And don't forget, we also have Cody Bradford later down the road. You still have John Gray, where you can put him in different areas. So, like, being the envy right now, I like that a lot. It feels really good.
And I know you got a chance to mention him. I want to go back because I've definitely been wrong about this player so far, Patrick Corbin. And I believe the exact thing I said was Patrick Corbin is the buffet of starting pitchers in terms of, hey, the portions are great in terms of innings that he'll give up, but the quality isn't that good. And I think that's reflected over several seasons. Like, you go all the way back to, like, post-pandemic, for example, because right before the pandemic, 2019, 2018, man, he was rocking and rolling.
But what team was he on then?
Diamondbacks and then the Nationals.
Was he with Maddox on the Nationals? I'm going to go revisit that.
That's a good question.
Okay.
But post-pandemic, he threw a ton of innings every single year. 171, 152, 180, 174. Here were his actual ERAs. 582, 631, 52, and 5.62. That year, he had a 6.31 ERA. His WAR for the season was -2.5.
Oh,
that
man
is shockingly terrible. And so I felt like CY gave us an idea. It's like, hey, look, he's left-handed and he can pitch a lot of innings. And so I thought he would take up a lot of innings, but you're probably looking at a disappointing result in a lot of those games. But that hasn't been the case whatsoever. He's been better than average. And if you would have told me coming in he would have been average, I'd have been like, okay, great. But he's better. He's been better than average.
I can't tell you that, Kevin, that I would have been okay with average, because we had so many question marks about DeGrom's, like, health and, like, will he be able to make it through a full season? And we kind of were sitting there hinging a lot on Eovaldi.
Yes.
Only. And we were like, man, we have zero clue what to expect out of these two rookies. Will they even be part of the staff to start the season? So I was like, if he was average, I was like, man, what was the point? But you're right. Being better than average has changed the entire look of this rotation. Hell, we were thinking Dunning was going to be part of this rotation.
That's a good point.
And this thing has changed.
I really
and
did.
Been pretty the same at the same time.
Yeah.
But better than we could have ever expected.
And I think the thing is, now that it feels like the wins have started to come around more and more. I know I mentioned this the other day, but Rangers play tonight, which, of course, you can hear right here on 105.3 The Fan. And if they can win this game in particular, not like this is the end of it or anything, but if they can win this game, they'll be four games above 500 for the first time in 3 months. 3 months. And they have I'm going to just go a favorable part of the schedule coming up, because first of all, the Braves and the Orioles have probably been the two most disappointing teams this entire season, if you discount expectations existing for Colorado. And then you have the Angels and you have the Mariners. So if you want to get some work done, you'll have that head-to-head opportunity at a time where it feels like you're playing your best baseball.
Somebody just texted in and said, Eovaldi adding a curveball this late in his career shows he has that it factor. If you listen to Bochy talk about Eovaldi this year, he's mentioned something similar to that. He's like, you know, he was a hard thrower most of his career,
right.
And now he's added the splitter.
Right.
And at the beginning of the first game of the year, he walks out to Boston and is just like, guess what, guys? I'm throwing a curveball all day to you. And they were like, what the? This is not in the scouting report. And he's like, yeah, I know. I just added it in this offseason because I'm that kind of guy.
Right.
And that's That's that we talk about Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd did what late in his career? I can still
learn how to shoot the
I'm
three.
A great facilitator still, but I need to learn how to shoot a three. And Nivaldi, not that he's declined in a lot of things, but he was like, how can I stay around longer? How can I continue to do this thing that I love so much? I'm going to have to adjust what I am just a little bit. And so he adds something to it. And now, man, I think hitters are scared of him. I think they are. I mean, they fear him.
I could see
and
that.
And I'd fear him too.
All right, quick side note. Before, hopefully, we get an opportunity to talk with Will McClay, what do you think was the record for most expensive women's trading card? The reason why I say it like that is just because it's decidedly different from Mickey Mantle.
Like I saw a $10,000 number with Caitlin Clark. Am I wrong about it? Way wrong.
I'm sure that number has existed with her cards, but her previous record... She set the record for the most expensive women's trading card of all time.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness, like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
$336,000.
Okay, wow.
That record just got broken by... Can you guess?
Sophie Cunningham.
Caitlin Clark is the obvious answer.
That makes sense, yeah.
So the record was $336,000. Her flawless one-of-one logo woman card sold for $660,000. It's autographed by Caitlin Clark, and it also says 769 points and counting for her career. And so the logo woman, just like the logo man with Jerry West, is it's a picture from the jersey of like the actual logo. And so people love that part of it, not to mention it's flawless and it is a one of one. But yeah,
is flawless a brand?
Flawless is a brand.
It's a, or
yes.
Great, okay.
Flawless is a brand.
What's the highest grade, like with a autograph on it?
So people will say Gem Mint because that's a 10 for like PSA and stuff, but there is a pristine, which is the 10 for Beckett, and then there is the coveted black label for Beckett, which means not only did you get a 10, every single subgrade was a 10. And so if you see those, doesn't matter what the card is. Those go for insane amounts, because even if it's a good card, it just takes it to the next level, because you're like, that probably doesn't exist anywhere else.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, I just wanted to shout out Caitlin Clark for just setting another record, and whether or not I think this is how I would go with my money. Maybe not.
There's a lot discussed in this. Is Paige going to touch her fame? And it's not like Caitlin went to a place where the WNBA was a hot market. Dallas.
Paige has a significantly bigger advantage coming off her college that I would think would translate.
You think so?
I mean,
I don't know if she's going to get that same type of stardom.
Probably not to Caitlin Clark level, because, and it doesn't matter who's the best player. Like, I know that should matter, but I'm just saying there's phenomenon vibes with her, and people like to be part of something popular, right?
Yep.
There are also plenty of people who like go out of their way to be against something popular, but people like to be on the popular thing. Like, that's why they had laugh tracks on TV shows for the longest time, because they're like, I want you to feel comfortable and know that it's okay for you to laugh right now.
Paige is, I think, well respected already amongst the, and that's one of the things 100%. I want people to know the reality of what we're working with. She's very well respected amongst the WNBA already. A, because if you said, you've said the Connecticut connection, yep. That's a huge factor in that. But on top of that, she's a good player.
And she's a fantastic player. She's had a hell of a rookie season. And I actually think it works out for her benefit that, hey, my card prices are lower. Great. But there's not this added sense of animosity from certain sections of the league because people don't talk about her as the only player that exists in the league.
Yeah.
Like, I understand why that animosity is there. For me, I would just treat it exactly, I used the analogy before, like Tiger Woods in golf, and I'd be like, hey, thanks for the house. Like, thanks for raising the money, thanks for this, thanks for
now
that.
Now, good luck making this three-pointer.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, a quick thing, since we're talking about money, it is a shout-out Friday. I've got a handful of shout-outs that I really want to throw out there from the 817. This is a heartwarming story that I hope has a great ending. Shout out to my wife, 11 years. We are separated, but she just agreed that we should try to work it out. I love you. That is delightful, but you're going to love this story maybe even better. Tennessee freshmen, Travis Smith Jr. and Jadon Harmon, they have donated $10,000 in NIL earnings to Knoxville kids, specifically the Wesley House Community Center. I didn't want you to think they were just going around just handing money out to people like Bob McKay's handing out those $2
bills.
Those
are awesome $2 bills.
Absolutely. So they have their NIL money, and both of them are like, you know what we should do with this? Let's each donate $5,000 to this community center.
Wow.
Just like, that's so cool. And I realize all of the negatives that come across with NIL, and people have lots of thoughts and this and that and everything else. But I just thought that that was a downright positive story right there. A couple more shout outs for you.
Kevin, yeah. Lionel Messi has been suspended one game for skipping the All-Star game. Yeah. So they just, you did that to the star of your league?
I mean,
I love it.
Because they were probably like, hey, get your ass out there for that All-Star game.
What are
game.
You doing right
Everybody
now,
Everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah.
This game needs you.
Especially, he's not far removed from his record-breaking string of multi-goal games.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, but now you can't play? Cool.
By the way, Mike said that Ivaldi threw the curveball 13.7% of the time in 2024. Now, I don't know if that means it's a significant amount of time, but
it's one every seven pitches.
Game
almost.
One, it just seemed like everybody was surprised that he was throwing as often as he was in that game.
On the shout-out Friday from the 817, shout-out to my son, Andrew. He's a Dallas firefighter at Station 49. Excuse me, Station 49. Very proud of him. That is outstanding. And do you want one more shout-out? Do we have time for one more shout-out?
I think we've had plenty of time at the moment.
Oh, great.
Based on things.
From the 903, shout-out to my daughter, Abigail, finishing her first ever tryout for the tennis team, trying to make varsity a freshman year. Boom. Make sure you give us the update. I hope it works. In the meantime, I was going to say NFL overreaction or reality, but it looks as like... It looks as like. It looks as...
As though
is what I was shooting for. Instead, we are ready to rock and roll with the Dallas Cowboys Vice President of Player Personnel. It is Will McClay. Good afternoon. Good morning, sir. How the heck you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. What's going on? Nobody's going to challenge me to any dominoes or card games in this group, are you?
You can try if you want to.
Yeah. I might make, what's your go-to card game?
Uno.
Really?
Oh man, that one can really break some families up. Yeah. Sure, yeah.
Do you agree with everybody about the rules? Do you have house rules? Because some people like to operate with different rules.
I cheat whatever it takes.
Okay, I gotcha. Now,
remember that when we play.
Okay, I will. Look,
keep an eye on him.
Yeah,
yeah. Whatever. When if you can, but always cheat.
Something up the sleeve. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
The only thing, and we were talking. The only thing, Houston. I'm from Houston, so
yeah, I know.
You know,
I'm
World
sorry.
Series. You know,
sure. Oh man, we went to the Dodgers game on Tuesday. Every time Correa came up to the plate, they booed the hell out of him. It was phenomenal.
Haters.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. All right. So there's a whole lot of players, I'm sure, that we all want to know about thoughts on camp in general. One of the things that we have noticed straight away, even before the pads come on, the pace of these practices seems to have accelerated quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, that's Shadi's mantra and what we wanted to bring. It's fast and furious. You want to compete every day. That's kind of our mantra. And the NFL is a fast game. You got these guys, college guys, number one, you got to get used to the pace of it. Number two, it's about conditioning. If you want to play fast, if you want to be a fast football team, you want to play that way, you have to practice that way. And so everything we do is that way. And it's very concise. It's very controlled. It's fast paced. And it's a way to increase our conditioning and all that stuff as well.
People talk about the welcome to the NFL moment. They usually talk about a specific play. Do you ever think conditioning can be a welcome to the NFL moment where you're like, you think you're in shape, but check out what we're doing, and a player's like, oh,
there's
goodness.
No question. And this year is, you know, the way we're playing defense and offense and what we're asking guys to do. But you look at – you turn on the tape and you watch guys running after the football and doing things that it takes being in shape. It takes that part. And there are some young guys that came in here after rookie minicamp and just getting started. And once they got introduced to it, they realized it's NFL football and we got to do things a different way.
Yeah.
How do you identify toughness as a trait in a player when you're watching them, even as you're building the draft or as you're checking them out as a veteran?
It's just continually watching. I mean, the guys are going to be put in situations that are you got to make a decision to put your face on somebody else. You got to make that decision to do that tough thing. And the more opportunities we put you in that situation or view you in those environments, that's when I can tell if you can do it or not.
Like a guy, like you're watching Booker and then you're digging into his background.
Yep.
And you see, oh man, that thing right there, he did this, and maybe it was something, you know, that he was doing at the house.
Yep.
You're like, that right there, that shows, and it just sticks in your head a little bit, you know. You're like, I keep going back to this with this guy.
You know, coach always talks about it, tells the players, you're always being evaluated, and we have to evaluate everything. And so there are key moments. There's little things like guys being in the, you know, even in the chow hall, you watch them. Who picks up their plate? Who does, you know, you're looking for all these different things. And when it gets out there on the field, it's those instances where, hey, that's a tough situation, and he made the decision to do that. Now, does he do it continually? And that's who the guy is. And so you want to see guys do that repeated action. You know, you want to see them do it again and again, and that's who they are, and that's what we look for.
Now, you're assessing these guys still.
Yes.
You've already gone through the draft process. Now you're assessing these guys, watching them, keeping an eye on them. You're assessing the rest of the league at the same time. How fluid is your job right now?
Very fluid. I mean, we're it's you know, there's camp, there's injuries, there's all these things that can happen. You go back to last year, we felt pretty good about what we were doing. We lose five defensive ends. We lose five corners. Those are very hard positions to replace, especially at a high level. So you've got to be prepared for that. So it's always working, always trying to get there. We've got a great group of scouts, and what we do is the college scouts are here now. Their number one job is to go on the road and know about colleges, but we also ask them to go do programs so that they know what's playing, and they also give us, you know, extra eyes on the road to watch all these other teams. We're always looking and always trying to improve.
And if you guys had leftover salary cap space and there was one of the best in the entire NFL at their position that just got waived, you might take a look at that?
I mean, yeah, sure.
That is exactly what's happening right now.
Sure. I know you can't teach speed, but can you kind of, for our listeners, for us, can you explain how speed benefits your team? What traits about speed help so much? Because this does look like a faster team this year.
Well, when you know, it's the old saying, speed kills.
Yes.
If you know what you're doing, if you understand where your weaknesses are, if you know that, and if you're on top of things, if you play fast, People don't want to play fast. People don't want to play physical. If you can do it down after down after down, you impose your will on people, and you have to condition for that. You have to be that. And speed, you know, speed, you're closing space. The football field is 53 yards across and 100 yards, and so how can we cover that space as efficiently as possible? Speed and force is what we're trying to do.
Or create that separation, too. Like, when I look at Pickens, I know he can catch a deep ball.
Yes.
But the ability to separate exists there, too. We've seen that happen. But that ability to give him just enough to make that space for the deep ball is a big deal. When y'all were watching him, are those the things that you saw about him that you're like, that's why we got to get this guy on the team?
Yeah, I mean, football is a game of leverage and angles. My father talked about that. That's how I learned football, and you think about it. So leverage and angles, that's speed, right? I didn't go in the math class. I went straight to PE, but there are some principles that I learned, right? The faster that you can play, the faster you can get from point A to B, the quicker you can make things happen.
What if you thought, whether it's early on in camp or just general scouting report about Nate Thomas? Because I know offensive line, we all kind of have an idea of what it might look like, but depth is key, well, at all positions, but especially on the line. What do you think about Nate Thomas?
I think Nate's done a phenomenal job. You know, we drafted him last year and felt good about some of the things. He went through some injury stuff. He fought through that and came back determined and prepared to show us, you know, what he could do. We've worked him at guard, but then he's showing some tackle things. He's a big, athletic, strong guy that's very, very powerful. And, you know, that's how you win the league. You got to move people. And so he has those traits to do that.
Do you get the sense from this team? It seems like so many of the players have been talking about players who are coming back from injury and rooting for them. Now, you mentioned some of the issues that Nate Thomas had. Obviously, we've heard a whole lot about people rooting for Sam Williams. How cool is that to see the players come back, but also to see the players who have been healthy the whole time be like, I'm so excited that guy's back?
Yeah, I mean, that's when you build a team. One of the most the hardest things to do in sports is get a group of people to believe in each other and have this one and truly believe in each other.
Sure.
So when you have guys that see how hard people work and what that means to them, if that part of your team is right, and that's what Shoddy's done and the coaching staff has done, is made everybody feel a part of it. And that connection is important. That has to be a genuine connection. So when you see guys battle through, like Sam Williams, the number one thing that Sam wants to do is be a Cowboy and play and contribute. That's in his heart, right? And
yep.
Then to not be able to do that and then see him fight and come back,
yeah,
that, you know, that inspires people, because it's 100%. That's what he's all about. And he wants people in the boat with him that way. And, you know, it's been very, and, you know, our quarterback leads us that way. He works hard, and so if everybody follows that, we got an opportunity.
I was really excited to see the moves y'all made with the linebacking group this offseason. I like Kenneth Murray when he was at Oklahoma. I was an OU fan, so I was really excited to hear his name. Mm-hmm. But then I had a friend who's a huge Bears fan that was like, Jack Sanborn, I guarantee you he's going to be a Cowboy. Yeah. And I was like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
And then he was. And I was like already ahead of the game on this. What can you tell me about Jack Sanborn, the reason he's on this team?
He's just a football player. You know, that's the best way to put it. You know, sometimes we go through this, we look for the biggest, fastest, strongest, you know, the guy with all the, you know, the pretty things.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you need some, you know.
No, I get it. I do.
Sometimes
I
you
do.
Need somebody to cook. You know,
yes.
do the right things all the time, and that's what you get from Jack. He's a very instinctive football player, and he might not run a 4 or 5 on the clock, but because of how he sees things, how he reacts, and how intentful he is once he gets there, that makes you play a lot faster.
You know, I love that description, because I know there's some people out there that think he's just a football player is like not necessarily an insult, but kind of like, oh, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, but when you hear from the coaches, they mean like what you just said. They don't have the prettiest numbers, but watch him out there. You're like, he did exactly what we needed him to do there. He did exactly his assignment right there.
And especially at that position requires you not only to take on these men that weigh 300 pounds and get them off and find the ball, but you know there's so many things that you have to do to make it all happen. And so the quicker that you see it and the more intentful that you are in doing that, the faster you play. We talk about play speed and regular speed. A guy can run a 4.4, but he plays at a 4.7. Why? Because he doesn't see things, he doesn't react, he doesn't make that decision to do what he needs to do at the right time. And that's just Jack just – he sees it, he goes, and he has intent doing it, and he brings people along with him. That's what you want a linebacker doing. He gets everybody lined up. He knows what everybody's supposed to do, and he's intentful about what he does.
one level back on the defense. I know we could ask questions about a lot of these players, but opportunities in front of Kalen Carson, and then I was hoping you could also tell us about the versatility of Wanya Thomas, who is somebody that we've been like really rooting for a few years.
These are good young players that have, like, Wanya has continued to grow and continued to show us what he can do. Like, I remember the first time Wanya went back to return kicks. I know he did it in college. Mm-hmm. But then you see him, and, you know, he's trying to help us win. And his ability to play down the box, to cover, to do all those things, play on special teams, excited to see him because it means something to him. And that whole safety group, like, we got a great group of coaches to bring that out. I mean, I'm excited to see our team because of the coaching staff as well and what they get out of guys. So you got these young guys that come in and they feel like they have an opportunity, and they got an opportunity to get better. Kalen Carson is competing. He had the injury last year, and we were seeing good things early. He was determined in the offseason to come back and to come back strong, and I'm excited to see him because he gives us some versatility as well. And he's a good young player that, again, we lost five corners last year.
Yeah.
You can never have enough.
That's true. It's like starting pitching.
Yeah.
You never have enough of it. Last thing here, we've asked this question to a lot of different people, and we got a chance, and we're going to play the Jaden Blue audio here in just a minute. But that report over the weekend, did you hear anything about that whenever he was in college? Did you ever hear anything like that? And why do you disagree with something with the report of him not being his work ethic being low?
We've done all the research on him, felt good about him, and have done the things to let us know who he is and how we can help him grow. Every young person has to grow, right? You come into the NFL, and, you know, I think I've made it. Well, it's got a way of bringing you back down.
Yep.
You got to want to make the naysayers wrong. And there's a lot of clickbait as soon as the combine, the draft starts.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of, we had a bunch of stuff. There's some combine stuff. There's some draft stuff. And then when they come out before camp, let's go out here on the field and let the young man, give him an opportunity to prove himself. And he's extremely talented, and he's going to work his butt off, and we'll see what he can do for us.
Actually, I'm one more thing.
You just said that.
I'm sorry. There's one more thing. And I promise this is the last
one. Were you going to ask him which is the last team from Texas to win the World
Series?
Oh,
yeah. No, he knows. If you could make the media take one course on something you wish they knew more about, what would it be?
Human decency.
Okay.
Honestly, because the people in this business, because we're in this business and people make money, whatever, you feel like you can say or do whatever, right?
Right.
These are young men. These are people that go through things, and they're trying to get there. And there's empathy goes a long way when you – let's see what happens. Don't determine anything about a guy right now. We've all grown. I remember first time I met you, you didn't speak English very well. Now look at you. You're on the radio.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Will McClay brought to you on the Wild Pork Foods Hot Seat, wildporkfoods.com, Elite Game Day Grilling Favorites.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.